Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, the Super Bowl edition, on this 6th of February 2010. As I take you for the next 60 minutes as we look ahead towards Super Sunday, the biggest day in the biggest day in the sports calendar. Without question, you'll get, you know, Super Bowl 44 will do the highest rating of any program, sports or otherwise, this season, this year. And listen, it's being termed destiny versus dynasty, as you have the Saints taking on the Indianapolis Colts, who are looking to cement their place as a dynasty. And you know, these are two different teams that have, you know, they have two different things on the line. I think the pressure is on Indianapolis to win. Without question, I mean, they are the favorites coming into this game. You know, leave it to Tony Dungy. We shouldn't even watch the game, as they, you know, the Colts are just going to run all over the Saints. But, you know, the Saints is about their legacy. I mean, the Colts is about their legacy, not only with the legacy of one Peyton Manning, quite possibly being the greatest quarterback of all time if he were to win a second Super Bowl, but the legacy of a franchise. I mean, will be their third Super Bowl. It'll be their second Super Bowl in 4 years, and to me, this a Super Bowl win would cement their dynasty. There'll be no more Atlanta Braves talk, no more, you know, only one Super Bowl, no more, you know, talk about a team that just wins in a regular season that comes up short in the playoffs. That will be over with. I mean, that will be done. They've already erased one demon as far as the rest of their players when they made it to the Super Bowl. You know, anybody can get to the Super Bowl and lose, so that talk is done. Now, it's about them playing for their place in NFL history. And you think about how much different these two franchises are. I mean, think about the Saints for a minute. I mean, you talk about the history of the Saints, and you talk about the Saints in general. This is a five-year odyssey that the Saints are going through right now. And it began, to me, back in summer 2005 with the whole Katrina catastrophe, up until this point, right, to where they are right now. I mean, think about where the Saints were back in 2005. I mean, they didn't have a home, basically. They're playing, they're playing home games in Tulane, you know, where Tulane plays, in a college stadium. To think that they're 60 minutes away from a championship is just remarkable. You know, for that city. And of course, it began with, you know, the acquisition of getting Drew Brees the following year in 2006, and hiring Sean Payton. Remember, think about this when you think about Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Those two guys almost, very nearly, did not end up in other places. Sean Payton was a finalist for the Green Bay Packers job, and you know, he got beat out by Mike McCarthy. And Drew Brees could have easily been a Miami Dolphin. Had Nick Saban, who ironically left Miami and went back to Alabama, had Nick Saban, you know, signed off on Drew Brees as far as giving, you know, so I say, hey, you know, this is the guy I want. Drew Brees is a Miami Dolphin right now. Saban was scared that Drew Brees is coming off the shoulder injury, was kind of nervous about that, so they went, you know, for Dante Culpepper, and, you know, and of course that worked out well. So, this almost did not happen. It was just been more frustrating years for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, these are two different teams that are coming in two different opposite directions. You think about the Colts, you're talking about Unitas, you're talking about Gino Marchetti, legends like that. You're talking about they've had some of the greatest players in NFL history, a couple of Hall of Famers. You're talking about the Saints. I mean, the greatest Saint, arguably, Archie Manning is probably the most well-known, but in terms of productivity, in terms of as a player, probably you have to think about Ricky Jackson, as a finalist for the Hall of Fame, which will be announced later on today. He probably is the greatest Saint. He probably is the best Saint in history, considering the kind of career he had. And again, these are two different franchises, and that's what makes this game unique. You have a team in the Saints who everybody will be rooting for, including myself. I mean, Colts, I love Peyton Manning. The Colts have been one of the model franchises in the NFL for the past decade now, as consistent as they come, you know, setting the record for wins in the decade, having, you know, starting off 13-0 one season, starting off 14-0 this season, could have won 16-0. They wanted to, I believe they could have won 16-0. But the Saints, I mean, how do you not root for this particular franchise? I mean, these fans have stuck with this team throughout, you know, even when the team was bad. And trust me, they've only had 9 winning seasons in their history. And 5 of them came in the range from 87 to, say, 92, when they had, you know, guys, even they had Bobby Abears and the Ken Swillings, Pat Swillings, and that, you know, Jim Moore, that whole little era they had, which they had some pretty good, they had excellent defense and some pretty good teams. I mean, yeah, in the mid, late 80s, early 90s, those teams were, you know, they didn't win a playoff game, but they were very good. They would make the playoffs five years during that time span. And again, it is a franchise that, you know, I'm not going to say starving for a championship. It's not like, the Saints are not the Boston Red Sox. You know, they're not the Chicago Cubs. They don't have that kind of history. But it is a city that, you know, for them to get to Super Bowl is a major accomplishment. But it is a city, again, that has been through so much that a winning the Super Bowl, and I mean, I don't know what would happen to that city if they were to win the Super Bowl. They've already scheduled a party, a parade, regardless of where they win or lose. I mean, that's how galvanized the city has been throughout this whole process. So, you can't have two teams coming from further directions than the Saints and the Indianapolis Colts. And when you think about it, this was the Super Bowl that was destined to happen this year when you look at the course of the 2009 season. I mean, these were the two last undefeated teams. The Saints, I thought, for the better part of the season, were the best team in football. I thought there was a point in the season where they were, you know, hands down the best team in football. At one point, I didn't think it was even close. You know, then they had some tough games where, you know, they almost lost to the Redskins, had a 3-game losing streak to end the season. Looked very shaky going to the playoffs. I did not think the Saints would get to the Super Bowl. I didn't think the Saints were going to get to the NFC Championship, let alone the Super Bowl, the way they were playing it down the stretch. But they got healthy against Arizona, played a great game there, and frankly just got lucky. And I'll say, listen, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Frankly, just got lucky against the Minnesota Vikings. There's no question in my mind that the Minnesota Vikings were the better team. But found a way to gift wrap that game to the Saints. But hey, give the Saints credit. They made the plays when they had to be made, and they find themselves, again, 60 minutes away from the championship. As far as the Colts, I mean, the Colts, again, finished, you know, with 14-2. Like I said, could have easily been 16-0 had they went full throttle. But again, I can't knock management. I can't knock Bill Polian now for making the decision he made. The team got to the Super Bowl, and nobody. If the Colts don't win the Super Bowl, it will not be because they rested their players the last 2 weeks of the season. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's a moot point now. It will be because Drew Brees probably had the game of his life, and you know, the Peyton Manning came back down to earth. But you know, if you're a Colts fan, again, you have a chance to basically stamp this decade and just put your foot, you know, on this legacy of greatness as far as being the dominant team of this era. And I understand the Patriots had 3 Super Bowls. I understand that. And, you know, you want to call them team of the decade? Fine, you can call them team of the decade. But, again, to me, the thing I will remember, if the Colts win this Super Bowl, my memory will be about Peyton Manning's ascension as possibly the greatest quarterback of all time, and this franchise and how consistent it's been, and possibly the start of a dynasty if they are to win the Super Bowl. I will remember the Patriots, but to me, and then the Colts will, you know, by winning the Super Bowl, will go down as the team, you know, the marquee franchise in the NFL. And that's how much is on the line for them. So it should be a very intriguing game. It should be very entertaining. Of course, you have a couple of question marks as far as injuries. All of a sudden, you know, Indianapolis can't stay healthy. Freddie's ankle is still a major question mark. Reggie Wayne tweaked the, tweaked his knee. That shouldn't be too much of a problem. He's definitely going to play. The Freeze thing is very interesting because, I cannot see a guy being effective with a torn ligament in his ankle. Now, I understand coach are telling you all these things about, it's getting better. He's giving me, maybe he's making progress, but I don't know how much Dwight Freeze is going to be able to give you on that ankle, on one ankle. I don't know what, being a pass rusher off the edge that, being trying to push off that ankle and try the stuff that he has to do. I mean, he has to go from basically from side to side. I don't know. I don't get his stuff is all about lateral quickness. I would be surprised if Freeney finished the game myself. That's my own personal opinion. I would be surprised if he finished the game. Do they need him to win? No, because they still have number 18. As long as you have Peyton Manning, you always have a chance to win if you're Indianapolis. But again, that is a major. If Freeney is not able to go and not nowhere near 100%, that would be a major break for the New Orleans Saints, because you're talking about taking one of the premier pass rushers in football out, and I don't think you can, you give Brees a lot of time, you give Drew Brees a lot of time, he can turn, he can get ugly real fast as far as him being able to put up numbers. So certainly keep your eye on that injury, as far as in how free he plays during the course of this game. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We have a lot to get to on this Super Bowl edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Before we get into the Super Bowl, we'll do some NBA in the next segment, talk about Kobe Bryant, his historic week, and possibly is this the beginning of the end for him as far as him physically breaking down. We'll talk about that after the break, and also we'll get into the legacy of one Peyton Manning. Where would a Super Bowl win put him? I've already given you a little bit of what I feel about it, but I'll give you the full dose after this update. Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Reggie Wayne has had to leave practice early after aggravating his right knee. Wayne is still scheduled to play on Sunday. Michael Irvin has filed a $100 million countersuit against a woman who accused him of rape back in 2007. The woman filed a civil suit against Irvin on Thursday in a Broward Circuit Court. Irvin has been released from his duties as a talk show host that goes on 103.3 ESPN Radio. ESPN, of course, claims it's a performance issue as far as him not getting ratings and the show not being as good as they want it to be. But it's what a coincidence that this happens and he gets released from that particular position. NBA scores, good one going on in L.A. Denver, leading the Lakers 111-100 without Carmelo Anthony. Kobe Bryant is playing in that game and is having a big game. Had about 30 points. But again, Denver's up big now, 113-100. Phoenix defeated Sacramento 114-102. Washington rallied from 21 to defeat Orlando 92-91. Boston over New Jersey 96-87. New Jersey falls to 4-45 on the season. Atlanta over Chicago 91-81. Houston 101. Memphis 83. Milwaukee 114. New York 107. Philadelphia 101. New Orleans 94. Three four seven two one five six one eight zero is your call number. Super Bowl 44 coming up on Sunday evening around 6:30, 6:35. Once you get up through all the, pregame concerts that they'll probably have. I know the Who is playing at halftime. I don't know what the entertainment is before the game, but it'll probably be around 6:35, 6:40. Those of you who are lucky to be in Miami, and I mean that, lucky to be in Miami, fortunately you don't have to deal with the uh, blizzard that's hit the East Coast, and preferably the DMV, Maryland Metro DC area that I'm going to have to deal with once I leave this studio. So South Beach is a good place to be right now. It's a good place to be right now as in comparison to Maryland, Virginia, and DC. Of course, NBA big historic week in the NBA, a milestone week. You had a couple guys reaching historic plateaus in their careers. Kevin Garnett passed Larry Bird on the NBA's all-time scoring list. Garnett, I think Bird was like 21st. Garnett has over 21,000 points. I think Bird was like, I want to say 21st in NBA scoring, somewhere around there. But again, Garnett passing Larry Bird again. When Garnett came to the league, he really was the first. I'm not talking about Moses Malone, but he really was the first player to have any impact coming directly out of high school after Moses Malone. I mean, you had a couple guys that came in that did nothing. Garnett, again, came in about 6'11", 145 pounds. And, you know, when he first came in, this guy can jump out of the building, but he also is, you know, as thin as a rail. But listen, he's had an absolute Hall of Fame career. He's one of the great defensive players in the history of the sport. 21,000 points speaks for itself. I don't think he's an all-time great. I don't think he's an all-time great on the level of, say, you know, Tim Duncan or Shaquille O'Neal. But he, you know, again, he's a first ballot surefire Hall of Famer. There's no question about that. And certainly has had a career, and certainly has definitely been one of the best players of this generation. Again, he passes Larry Bird on the all-time NBA scoring list. And speaking of all-time NBA scoring list, of course, you got Kobe Bryant becoming the Lakers all-time leading scorer. And while it's a big deal, I mean, listen, I knew Jerry West held that record. I can't sit up and tell you I knew the exact number, but when you become the scoring leader all-time of a franchise like the Los Angeles Lakers, it is a major deal considering, you know, who's played for the Lakers. When you talk about the Magic Johnsons of the world, Will Chamberlain, you know, Gail Goodrich's, James Worthy, just to name a few. I mean, just to name a few, Elgin Baylor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, when you become an all-time leader and scorer of the Los Angeles Lakers, you are one of the greatest players of all time in general. And Kobe Bryant, the amazing thing about what he's done and where he's at right now, he's only 31 years old. I mean, he has 25,000 points. He's only 31 years old. He's already ranked, you know, passing West, he ranks now 14th all-time in scoring. And by the time the season ends, injuries withstanding, he should be at round number 12, right on the heels, you know, number 12 at over 26,000 points. And listen, if he stays healthy, I think he's probably going to end up as the NBA's leading scorer of all time. I think he plays 6 or 7 years where he averages around 25 points a game. He should pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar again somewhere in the next 6 to 7, 8 years. Now I get the sense that Kobe Bryant is a player who cares about records, who thinks about these kind of things. He wants to play in every game, never wants to take a game off, which might be a deterrent for the Lakers, you know, in terms of trying to win a championship this year. Bryant has had all kinds of nicks this year in terms as far as, you know, with the finger, with his ankle, his back, and, you know, you wonder, you know, you look back to the start of 2007 to 2008 season. He's played in, like, over 281 games. And that's a lot of basketball. He has over 36,000 minutes played in his career. You wonder if he's starting to wear down a little bit. I mean, it's definitely something to take into consideration. If you're the Lakers, listen, I'm Phil Jackson. If I'm that organization, I'm pleading with him to sit down. I'm absolutely pleading with him to miss a couple games. Now, I understand they're in a playoff race, a race for home court advantage with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They come in really 2 games behind the Cavaliers, one in the loss column, but keep in mind the Cavaliers swept the Lakers, so the Lakers would have to finish a game ahead of them to have home court if they meet the finals. And they come into tonight about 3.5 games ahead of Denver, you know, as far as home court goes, four in the loss column. I don't know if I'm – listen, if I'm Phil Jackson, I mean, I would sit him down for a couple, just a couple games just to get – you know, just to try to get some type of rest. And he doesn't have to play every single game. He's not going to do it. He wants to play every game, so it'll be very interesting to see how that works out. He's playing a lot of minutes. He's playing more minutes than Phil Jackson certainly wanted him to play. I mean, I thought Phil Jackson probably wanted him to be at 35, 36. He's playing about 38, 39 right now. So, again, that's something to keep your eye on. I mean, I don't see that finger getting any better. I know he's having a big game. I know he's playing well tonight, having a big game. But for the most part, his shoot percentage has been down dramatically since the finger injury. As far as the rest of the NBA, again, Cleveland is playing great basketball, playing the best basketball in the league. They've won 10 straight, and it boggles my mind that they would even ever consider making a move. You heard rumors of them possibly trying to trade Drew Zogaskis to try to possibly get either Stoudemire or Anton Jameson. More than likely, Stoudemire. Joe Drew's old guy, more like he's Stoudemire, I mean, Jameson. But if I'm Cleveland right now, I'm keeping that team together. And plus, you move old Gaskins, you're basically putting all your eggs in the Shaquille O'Neal basket. I mean, Shaq has played very well, had a great month of January, has looked refreshed over the past, couple of weeks. But again, he's 37 years old, and he has been injury prone over the last two or three years. He's been injury prone a lot over the course of his career. But specifically the last two or three years, you do not want to risk him going down and not having any size to back him up. I think you have an excellent luxury having Shaquille O'Neal start and having Ilgauskas come off the bench, to where you don't lose really anything offensively when you go to Ilgauskas coming off the bench. Yeah, yes, you lose something a little bit defensive, but you don't lose anything offensively. I mean, Ilgauskas can still shoot the ball. He can stretch the defense out. He can really spread the floor for LeBron James, give LeBron James space to operate, in terms of penetration. So, I'm keeping Ilgauskas on the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not touching the team. I really think the Cleveland Cavaliers have a legit chance at winning a championship. And I did not think that coming into the season, wanted to see how this thing with Shaq worked out. Took a little bit of time at the beginning of the season, but right now they're playing great basketball, winning on the road, winning without Mo Williams, winning, killing people at home. So I don't mess with the if I'm Danny Ferry, I'll leave this team alone. I know I understand that they're paranoid about keeping LeBron, and rightfully so. But again, you do not want to, break up. You do not want to break this particular group up right now, the way they're playing. Boston Celtics, of course, are struggling. I know they won tonight, but for the most part, they've been struggling the past, couple of weeks. They have not played well since that big Christmas win they had against Orlando at Orlando. And the bottom line is, and I said this before the season, one of the reasons why I couldn't pick them to win a championship because they're old. I mean, you can't fight five at a time. You can try to fight, but eventually five at a time is going to win out. I mean, they are an older team. Garnett, Pierce, basically take turns getting hurt. I don't think Garnett will ever be the same with that knee. He has not recovered from that knee injury from last year, from February or January of last season. He still hasn't recovered from that fully. Pierce now is nicked up a bit. This is a team that, remember, the last couple of seasons they played a lot of basketball. Played basically the maximum amount of games in a couple of years ago when they won a championship. Last year they go seven games with the Bulls. Then they go seven games with Orlando in each conference semifinals. And, you knew coming into the season that they were all ball time with the likes of the big three, Garnett, Pierce, and Allen. And certainly would not surprise me if they move Ray Allen. He is not shooting the ball well. He really, even wide open 3-pointers, shots that used to just be automatic for him are not falling. When he's getting good looks, would not be shocked if they moved him and try to get another player in. And I think they might have to make a move, but they, Ray Allen certainly is movable. He has just 1 year left. You know, this is his free, this is his walk year. He has an expiring contract. Maybe somebody takes a risk, that on him, thinking that his shot can come back. Again, I think the Celtics are in a tough spot right now in regards to that age. I mean, you cannot battle age. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with the Boston Celtics. Still to come on this latest edition, this Super Bowl edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, I will discuss the legacy of one Peyton Manning. What will it mean to him? What will it mean as far as his legacy if he is to be holding the Vince Lombardi Trophy come Sunday? Where would that put him? And not only amongst all-time great quarterbacks, but just in athletes in general. I'll talk about that. And also certainly we'll get to my Super Bowl pick on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, 347-215-6180 is your call number. Again, 347-215-6180 is your call number. Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Reggie Wayne has had to leave practice early after aggravating his right knee. Wayne is still scheduled to play in Super Bowl 44. Michael Irvin has filed a $100 million counter lawsuit against a woman who accused him of rape back in 2007. The woman filed a civil suit against Irvin on Thursday in Broward Circuit Court. NBA scores. Good one going on down in L.A. Denver trying to pull off a minor upset without Carmelo Anthony, but Chauncey Billups having a big game. They lead the Lakers just a little bit over 2 minutes left, 115-108. Phoenix defeats Sacramento, 114-102. Washington rallies from 21 down to edge Orlando, 92-91. Boston over New Jersey, 96-87. Boston, New Jersey falls to 4-45 on the season. Atlanta over Chicago, 91-81. Houston, 101. Memphis, 83. Milwaukee, 114. New York, 107. Philadelphia, 101. New Orleans, 94. Of course, Peyton Manning enters this Super Bowl as having, again, an opportunity to really cement himself as possibly the greatest quarterback of all time. I think, coming into this game, I thought that if he did win, then he would have to go down as probably, at worst, the second best behind Joe Montana. Montana, of course, has 4 Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowl MVPs. And 4 Super Bowl wins, 3 Super Bowl MVPs. But now, now that I'm looking at it, if Manning wins this game and gets his second Super Bowl with a fourth MVP, it probably more likely to be a second Super Bowl MVP. And with the numbers that he's put up year in, year out, the wins, the 7 straight 12 win seasons, the whole 9 yards, I think you have to consider him probably the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, I think, think about the fact that this guy has never missed a career start. I mean, everybody talks about Brett Favre's streak, and Brett Favre, of course, has played in about 300 straight games. But Peyton Manning has the second longest streak in NFL history in terms of games started for a quarterback at 192. And again, we see these quarterbacks have off years at times. Peyton Manning, this guy has never really had an off year. Basically, since his rookie season, he's been 4,000 yards, he's been 30 touchdowns, he's been near at a quarterback rating of 100, over 90. He's been 12 wins or more. I mean, he has been basically unstoppable. He has been played the game at the highest of levels ever since he got past his rookie season. And to me, when I compare him to some of these other guys who are all-time greats as far as, quarterbacks, I mean, Joe Montana right now I consider to be the greatest of all time with, how he played under pressure. Again, 3 Super Bowl MVPs, no interceptions in the Super Bowl, and the whole 9 yards. But the bottom line is Joe Montana only had 4 years where he played every game, where he had played a full season. And he really missed a couple seasons due to injuries. his stats don't compare to Peyton Manning's. And he also had, like, Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison, but Joe Montana had Jerry Rice. So I would put him over Joe Montana if he were to win. When you look at John Elway, again, John Elway guy has two Super Bowls, has big time numbers, over 50,000 yards. But again, he won the second Super Bowl. Like, he doesn't win two Super Bowls without Terrell Davis. And the second one definitely was because of Terrell Davis, I mean, in that second year. Brett Favre, of course, holds all the records. Favre holds every passing record known to man. But in a big spot, who do you trust, Manning or Brett Favre? Manning doesn't throw the interceptions that Brett Favre throws in those particular spots. He just does it. And again, he would have one more Super Bowl than Favre. The tricky one is John Unitas. I mean, John Unitas, to me, you know, he played in the beginning of the Super Bowl era, but Unitas, the numbers he put up for the time that he played in are mind-boggling. I mean, he played at a time where the game was about running backs and about, you know, 3 yards in the cloud. Thus, he threw for 40,000 yards. He had 290 touchdown passes, which is ridiculous. I mean, you think about his numbers, he's playing in seasons where, you know, between 12 and 14-game seasons. He's the tricky one. One what many people consider the greatest game ever played. But to me, if Manning gets this win, if you combine, you know, the package of talent, physical ability, and mind, I don't think there's ever been a better package that the NFL has seen than Peyton Manning. I mean, we've seen guys like Dan Reel with the best pure passer of all time. We've seen John Elway and Joe Montana be two of the more clutch players of all time. We've seen Johnny Unitas be the great winner and the great leader. We've seen Brett Favre with the rocket arm and the competitiveness and durability. Peyton Manning really is a combination of all those guys. I mean, he's durable, has a great arm. There hasn't been a smaller player ever in NFL history, I mean, at the quarterback position. I dare anybody to find a smaller player than Peyton Manning. He's basically his own offensive coordinator, with all due respect to Tom Moore. And his leadership, again, is unquestioned. Unquestioned. I mean, you've never heard any riffs going on in their locker room. You know, no divas. No, I mean, you've never heard any of that stuff around the Colts. Never. You've never heard anything. And, you know, that's a reflection of Peyton Manning's leadership. So I will say here, and this is a change of opinion for me, that if Manning wins the Super Bowl, then he's the greatest quarterback of all time. And he's headed towards that icon. To me, he's headed towards becoming that iconic status of becoming that next big athlete in the mold of, say, a Tiger Woods, Roger Federer. He's about to hit that level. That's what's next. He's already the best quarterback in the league. He's already the biggest, you know, he's already the biggest name in the sport of football right now. He's headed towards, again, iconic status as an athlete. He really is. But again, there will be no question in my mind that this guy that I'm watching, again, the greatest quarterback of all time, if he is to win his second Super Bowl in 4 years. And listen, if you're the rest of the NFL, you have to be very nervous right now, you know, going up against the Colts. I mean, the Colts, you have a guy who's at the top of the game right now in Manning. He has young receivers, Reggie Wayne. Man, you want to say Reggie Wayne is at, you know, in the latter part of his prime? Yeah, okay. But you have Pierre Garçon, You have Austin Colley, both are 23-24. Forget about Anthony Gonzalez, who got hurt. He'll be back next year. Dallas Clark is in the prime of his career. I mean, they have weapons upon weapons. And this is with no running game. The running game can only get better. I mean, the running game can't get any worse than what it was this year. They had no running game this season. Jeff Saturday's in the prime of his career. So it is a scary proposition for the rest of the NFL with Manning playing the way he is. I mean, there's no telling how many Super Bowls that, you know, the Colts can win in the next 4 to 5 years. It won't be easy. I mean, you still have some big time change with Pittsburgh. I expect to bounce back. You know, New England will bounce back, but right now Indianapolis is, you know, again, they're on the cusp of being the next dynasty. There's no question about that. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, my Super Bowl pick. It will be my final pick, of course, of the 2009 season. I know you're probably thinking where I'm headed at, but I'll give you my pick anyway. I'll talk about that. Also, some Hall of Fame talk. The induction ceremony, of course, will be in July, but the guys who will be inducted will be announced around 5 p.m. later on today. So I'll talk about who I think will be in and who will be out besides the two obvious ones that will be automatically in the Hall of Fame. So we'll talk about that and much, much more still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Here's the update. Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Reggie Wayne had to leave practice early today after aggravating a knee injury that's been nagging him throughout the course of the season. Wayne is still scheduled to play on Sunday. Michael Irvin has filed a $100 million countersuit against a woman who accused him of rape back in 2007. The woman filed a civil suit against Irvin on Thursday in Broward Circuit Court. NBA scores: the Nuggets get a big win over the Lakers, 126-113. In the game where they were playing with no Carmelo Anthony, they had a big fourth quarter. In fact, a big second half in general, as Chauncey Billups had 39 points, 8 assists. Kobe Bryant led the Lakers with 33 points. Phoenix over Sacramento, 114-102. The Washington rallies from 21 down to go 92-91 over Orlando. Boston 96, New Jersey 87. New Jersey falls to 4-45. Atlanta 91, Chicago 81, Houston 101, Memphis 83, Milwaukee 114, New York 107, Philly 101, New Orleans 94. Of course, still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Again, I will have my Super Bowl pick before the show comes up to an end. But I want to get to something that's been going talked about in regards to the NFL over the course of the week. A lot of it certainly had to do with the Hall of Fame and this guy candidacy for the Hall of Fame. Certainly he will be in. And that's one with Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is going to the Hall of Fame first ballot, no question about it, along with Emmitt Smith. Those guys will get in without any debate whatsoever. But there's been this ongoing, you know, argument or ongoing, I want to say, push to make Jerry Rice the greatest player in NFL history. Now, to me, the argument for greatest player in NFL history is one of it's an impossible argument to make. Because, first of all, there are too many positions in football to single out one player as being the greatest. I mean, how do you argue Lawrence Taylor being better than, you know, say Barry Sanders? How do you argue Jerry Rice being better than say Kellen Winslow Sr.? but not Kelvin Winston is a bad example. Let's say like Anthony Munoz, who is considered one of the great offensive tackles of all time. You can, in the NFL, normally how you judge it, how you gauge guys, how you gauge players are by positions. Say greatest linebacker, greatest offensive lineman, greatest cornerback, greatest tackle, greatest wide receiver, greatest running back, greatest quarterback. Because let me tell you, first of all, Jerry Rice can't be the greatest player of all time because if you're starting an NFL team, you had the option of starting a team with one player. You're telling me you're taking Jerry Rice over Joe Montana or over Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, any of the top 20, 25 quarterbacks of all time? Anybody knows anything about football, anything about the NFL, about football in general, is that you always start with the great quarterback. So from that standpoint, that eliminates any Jerry Rice from being the greatest football player of all time. To me, there is no greatest football player of all time. There is no greatest. I mean, you have to, if you want to compare defensive players to defensive players, then fine. I mean, I guess if you want to say, Lawrence Taylor might be the greatest defensive player of all time, you can. It's going to be hard to argue Lawrence Taylor versus, say, a Dick Knight, Trey Lane. But I guess that's a fun argument. But the argument of greatest football player is just ridiculous. It makes no sense. Again, there has been this prevalent thought that Jerry Rice, and again, I understand Jerry Rice owns every single record, but you can't argue Jerry Rice over how. I mean, what makes Jerry Rice better than Lawrence Taylor? Lawrence Taylor revolutionized he changed the face of linebacking as it's played right now. Jim Brown as a running back was an absolute freak of nature. Jim Brown put up numbers that will never be matched. The guy has 100 yards a game rushing. Nobody does that. He averaged 5 yards a carry in 12 and 14 game seasons. So I don't understand. Maybe because they're trying to push Rice. Rice is going to the Hall of Fame. You don't have to push Rice to the Hall of Fame. He's going to get in. I would guarantee that there's an absolute zero chance that he will not get in whatsoever. I mean, he got over 200 touchdowns. 200 touchdowns. He has every record known imaginable. Now, if you want to call Jerry Rice the most accomplished player in NFL history, then he probably is. I mean, he owns every receiving record with the exception of the touchdown receptions in a season. And to me, that's his anyway, considering that Moss only has one more touchdown than him than Rice has in a season. And Moss had to do it. It took Moss 16 games, but it only took Jerry Rice 12 games. But he holds every playoff record, just about every receiving record. He has 3 Super Bowl rings, has a Super Bowl MVP. I believe he has an NFL MVP and a receiver, which is unheard of. I mean, the guy, again, I think he might be the most accomplished football player in NFL history. Might be the most accomplished football player in NFL history. Was great for an extended period of time, even into his late 30s. But let's calm down about this greatest football player of all time, please. Still to come on this day's edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. When I return, I will have my Super Bowl pick. I'll tell you why. That's still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 15 minutes down to the bottom half, down to the 1:30, to the bottom half of the 1 o'clock hour to 1:30. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Again, 347-215-6180 is your call number. You can also follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald. Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Reggie Wayne had to leave practice early after aggravating his right knee. Wayne is still scheduled to play in Super Bowl 44 come Sunday. Michael Irvin has filed a $100 million countersuit against a woman who accused him of rape back in 2007. The woman filed a civil suit against Irvin on Thursday in Broward Circuit Court. NBA scores. Denver defeats the Lakers 126-113. Chauncey Billups goes for 39 points. Phoenix over Sacramento, 114-102. Washington rallies back from 21 to defeat Orlando, 92-91. Boston, 96. New Jersey, 87. New Jersey falls to 4-45. Atlanta, 91. Chicago, 81. Houston, 101. Memphis, 83. Milwaukee, 114. New York, 107. Philadelphia, 101. New Orleans, 94. The last week of the last week in the league where no contract is guaranteed, week number 21, week number 22 of this NFL season, again, the final week. And again, think about this, people. When you're watching Super Bowl 44, you will have no more football until September. 9 months without football. It really is just unimaginable to think you have to go 9 months without football. Now you're going to enter the dead period of sports at the month of February. You know, get ready for those Clippers and Timberwolves games, but still have one more day to play. Again, the theme to me, destiny versus dynasty, the Saints and the Colts, the two best teams in football by record. Remember, before you listen to all these experts pick the Colts, for most of the year, the New Orleans Saints were the best team in football. They started out 13-0. They were dominant their first 11 games or so, or 10 games or so. Then they ran to the Redskins, struggled, and after that they seemed to hit a rough patch. Lost their final three games in the season, kind of got together in the playoffs against Arizona, got lucky against Minnesota, but they're here. And to me, the thing I like about the Saints is they can beat you in so many ways. They're not just a team that wants to throw the ball 40 to 50 times. They're capable of rushing the ball for over 200 yards. They have a three-headed attack in Pierre Thomas, Mike Bell, and Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush has played well for the most part in the playoffs, had a big game against Arizona. I know on the struggle yardage-wise against Minnesota, but he did have a touchdown. And again, I think the Saints are going to put up some points. I think they're going to move the ball, especially if Freeney is not able to go with his ankle. The problem with picking the Saints is just, I think they're running to great. I think they are running to a buzzsaw right now. I think they are running to quite possibly the greatest quarterback of all time, and they are running to just greatness. And the thing about greatness, you don't beat greatness with average to mediocre defense. Think about the teams and coaches that have given Peyton Manning fits over the course of his career. Think about the team that owns him prior to 2007 in the New England Patriots. I mean, in the New England Patriots, you had a genius of a coach from Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has made a career of taking apart some of the best offenses that the NFL has ever seen. He did it to the Rams in 2001. He did it to the 49ers back in 1990. He did it to the Buffalo Bills back in Super Bowl 25. I mean, he's made a career. He did it to Peyton Manning early in his career. But in 2007, in that game in the AFC Championship, there was a turning point in the career of Peyton Manning and then with the Indianapolis Colts franchise. They were down 21-6, 21-3 at one point. Peyton Manning goes crazy in the second half, and they win 38-34. From that moment on, nobody has figured out Peyton Manning. And I just cannot see Greg Williams counting on, a million turnovers to blitzing Peyton Manning, trying to trick Peyton Manning. I don't see nobody outsmarting Peyton Manning at this point in his career. Peyton Manning right now is like Neo in The Matrix. He's figured it out. He is the one right now. And to me, and again, it's not any deep analysis. It's not anything that takes a rocket scientist to explain. He is the difference. I mean, he's just that good right now. He is absolutely the difference. I think the Colts are going to do whatever they want offensively. I like Indianapolis 44, to 34. I do just listen. The Saints are going to have some moments in this game because again, Indianapolis is not a great defense, and their defense is very good. But again, the Freeney injury scares me from a pass rush standpoint. Saints already have a very good offensive line. I think it's going to be one of the more entertaining Super Bowls that we've seen in recent memory. Just pure entertainment. I'm not going to say it's going to be a classic, but just pure entertainment. I can see Indianapolis jumping on the Saints early, but I can see the Saints in chase mode, and I like the Saints in chase mode. I really do. I think the Saints are built. You know, they have the kind of offense that can come from behind football. But again, at the end of the day, I don't think Peyton Manning will be denied. I think he's just on a mission right now. I think, you know, he wants to be, you know, don't think for a second that he does not want to be the greatest quarterback of all time. Don't think for a second that he's not looking at his legacy. He's not looking at a second Super Bowl. There's a major difference between one and two Super Bowls. You know, there are a lot of guys, you know, Doug Williams, Brad, you know, think about the guys who have had one Super Bowl as comparisons to the guys who've had two Super Bowls. I mean, Brad Johnson has a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer has one Super Bowl. Doug Williams has one Super Bowl. I mean, there are a lot of players, there's a lot of quarterbacks who've only won one Super Bowl. But think about the players, think about the quarterbacks who have multiple Super Bowls. Troy Aikman, Joe Montana, John Elway, Terry Bradshaw, Bart Starr. I mean, it is an absolute who's who of quarterbacks who have, you know, Tom Brady, who have won more than one Super Bowl. And from a skill standpoint, Peyton May absolutely is at that level. But he needs this one Super Bowl to cement his legacy as the greatest quarterback of all time. And I think come Sunday, he will cement that legacy, and the Colts will get their second Super Bowl. And Jim Caldwell, how would you like to be Jim Caldwell right now? You get handed a, not handed, but, you know, can Tony Bundy, I mean, Christmas came early for Caldwell to get this job. Certainly paid his dues, but to be given the keys to Lamborghini, basically, for the next 4 to 5 years with Manning being at the height of his powers. I mean, you know, you can't ask for a better situation than what he has right now. And I think the Colts just will have a little bit too much for the Saints. Again, the Saints have been a feel-good story. Again, would I be shocked if the Saints won? I can't say I'll be shocked, but I will say this. I will be surprised if the Saints win this game. I will be surprised if the Saints win this game. Again, Drew Brees, to me, for the Saints to win this game, their defense is going to have to get a lot of turnovers, and Drew Brees is going to have to absolutely have the game of his life. Drew Brees is going to have to outplay Peyton Manning. It can't be a standstill. Obviously, Manning can't outplay him in order for New Orleans to win, but Drew Brees is going to have to dominate the matchup at the quarterback position, and I just do not see that happening. Colts will get Super Bowl, their third Super Bowl, and Manning will get his second in 4 years. 44-34. Of course, you had the Hall of Fame inductions. You had the Hall of Fame finalists finding out who will get in come July. So again, Rice and Emmitt Smith are locks, but when you look at the rest of this class, it is a strong class. And again, the voters are going to have a difficult time. If I were a voter, here's who I would put in, here's who I would leave out. Chris Carter, Hall of Famer. Ricky Jackson, Hall of Famer. Russ Grimm, Hall of Famer. Richard Dent, Hall of Famer. Damani Dawson, Hall of Famer. John Randall, Hall of Famer. Charles Haley, he's going to have to wait. Shannon Sharp, Hall of Famer. Cortez Kennedy, he's going to have to wait. Andre Reed is not a Hall of Famer. And I'm going to tell you why. You look at Andre Reed's total numbers. He has, you know, 900 catches, 13,000 yards, but he only had one time in his whole career he had a season over 10 touchdowns, and he only had four you know times over his career where he had 1,000 yards in receiving. When you compare that to Tim Brown, who should be Hall of Famer, Tim Brown had, you know, 100 touchdown catches for his career, had 9 years of over 1,000 yards receiving. 9 years. Think about that. a guy who should get in, who's underrated, I mentioned him earlier in the program, Ricky Jackson. Ricky Jackson, if you remember, outside Lawrence Taylor, Ricky Jackson was the dominant linebacker of that era. When you talk about the decade of the 80s, early 90s, I mean, Ricky Jackson, you know, Joe Montana said, you know, we prepare for Ricky Jackson like we prepare for Lawrence Taylor. I mean, this is coming from, you know, Joe Montana. He's All-Pro, you know, All-Pro five times, three times, first-team All-Pro. So I would put Ricky Jackson in there. For Demario Dawson not to be in the Hall of Fame already, to me, is a joke. The guy was the dominant center in his era, you know, playing from 88 to 2000. I don't see how Demario Dawson is not in the Hall of Fame already. But again, they voted in. To me, a Hall of Famer is a Hall of Famer. I mean, again, football is kind of similar to baseball, where they make guys wait, even though they are Hall of Famers. So it'll be I think Rice, Emmitt Smith, but I think Carter gets in. I think Demario Dawson gets in, and I would say Ricky Jackson from a Saint, just to toss the Saints a bone, will probably get in. I don't know about the rest of those guys, but again, Richard Dent deserves to be in. Randall deserves to be in. And you can make a case for Charles Haley. Shannon Sharp definitely should be in. I think he'll get in as well. But Charles Haley had 100 sacks. He won 5 Super Bowls. I mean, Charles, he really was that first hybrid defensive player who could play both defensive and in terms of rushing passer and also linebacker. I mean, you think of a guy like James Harrison, Lamar Woodley. I mean, Charles Haley was really the first to do that. So I think he certainly deserves to get in, but he probably won't get in. So you'll have, again, Super Bowl 44 coming up on Sunday. Again, I like the Colts. I think it'll be, again, an entertaining game, to say the least. I like the Colts over the Saints. I'll be rooting hard, and I mean absolutely hard, for the Saints to win this game. Enjoy Super Bowl Sunday. Again, the Super Bowl is a very, again, it's a bittersweet game, bittersweet day for a sports fan, because you know, come around 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, that your football season absolutely is over. And the thing you're going to be looking forward towards is the draft. But again, you should enjoy the game. I hope it's a classic. We've gotten fortunate with the last two Super Bowls being classics. So hopefully we get that here in this particular game. But again, I have a feeling that it'll be just a great game from entertainment value, but not a classic. As again, I think I expect the Colts to come up and get their second Super Bowl. Again, the Saints have been a great story, but they'll just come up a little bit short come Sunday. Again, enjoy the game. Listen, if you are in the DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, be safe out there. I would not be driving. You definitely shouldn't be driving out there right now. Again, I'm going to have to walk out basically in a monsoon in terms of trying to get to the metro station, which is right across the street from where I'm at right now. But, again, you should not be driving at all out there. And this is going to be a tough way to go for the rest of this weekend. For the rest of this weekend in the DC metro area. Again, if you want to try to get a phone call, you've got about a minute left here at 347-215-6180. Feel free to. Again, I'll be back next week with a Super Bowl recap, and we will transition the program into some college basketball, some baseball as well, and also again continue to discuss the NBA, the trade deadline. The trade deadline is coming up February 18th, also the Winter Olympics. The Capitals have been playing great hockey. They won their 13th straight game tonight. But, you wonder how that's going to affect this two-week Olympic break will affect these players, you know, once they come back from that in terms of the NHL. We'll see about that. Again, enjoy your Super Bowl. I will see you next week. Have a great week.